Yet the government says it can prove it with some fancy physics in a nuclear laboratory. Of course they can. Theoretical physics can prove that an elephant can hang from a cliff with his tail tied to a daisy. But use your eyes, your common sense.
Welcome to the Cloak and Dagger Control Room. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom. Our guest on tonight's live briefing at 9 p.m. was the web fairy, Rosalie Grable. Rosalie has done groundbreaking investigations into the various possible explanations for the blatant inconsistencies in the official U.S. government story that we are supposed to believe that two airliners crashed into the World Trade Center. I was never convinced that the government story was truthful at all. You can crash an airliner up against the World Trade Center, but not into it intact, in whole, and pristine, and leave a hole less than one quarter of its size. It is physically impossible to fly an airliner into the World Trade Center. It is in this area of exploration of this heinous crime that Rosalie has become an expert. Once again, she explores this crime with another one of the greatest crime fighters and crime busters on the planet, my co-host and the only judge buster on the planet, Sherman H. Skolnick of Chicago, Illinois. Once again, every night the Cloak airs live at 9 p.m. Eastern. Afterwards, it is edited and saved in the members' archives, where only members can enter and download. Members are encouraged to download the shows and send by email to friends and family. Please do not lend your access codes. It could cause the decommissioning of those codes. So let's get into it right now. Rosalie Grable, the web fairy, was on tonight. Cloak and Dagger, 9 p.m. Here's how it sounded.
Yet the government says it can prove it with some fancy physics in a nuclear laboratory. Of course they can. Theoretical physics can prove that an elephant can hang from a cliff with his tail tied to a daisy. But use your eyes, your common sense.
Well, we're fortunate, Sherman, to have with us a woman who's really at the leading edge, cutting edge of the investigation into what really transpired on 9/11, and especially her expertise is what was it in fact that hit those World Trade Center towers? What was it we saw? And I'm honored to have back once again, I think she's been on the show twice before, and it's Rosalie Grable, the web fairy. Welcome back, Rosalie, and give us your website right off the bat for everybody, and then we'll plug it again at the end of the hour.
Hi.
Hi.
My website that I'm plugging tonight is missilegate.com. And that's http://missile, M-I-S-S-I-L-E, gate, G-A-T-E, all one word run together, .com. I've come by what I firmly believe to be straight off the first generation pictures of the first hit, close-ups. And they're all here for the first time ever only. I've finally got to see every frame that went into that first hit hideousness. Always before, they've been cut out and cut up like the Zapruder film has links missing, as frames missing. Only this time it wasn't cut up like that. They're all there. They were run double speed in a quick time so that it would still look like, oh, it's a plane hitting. But once I took this file apart, there it was.
Well, the minute, as soon as I saw on 9/11 planes hit the building and then eventually the building implode, I was awfully suspicious of what it was that did hit the building. Planes cannot naturally physically fly into a building in whole or part, or in whole, that is, in whole. W-H-O-L-E, and leave a hole, H-O-L-E, less than a quarter of its actual size, the counter shock would destroy the tail assembly. But you can stop the video, and it's and you can stop the video, and half the plane is in the building, half the plane is out of it, and the part sticking out is still pristine, which reminds us of the pristine bullet exhibit 399 of the Warren Commission from the JFK assassination.
I explained it a little.
Go ahead, Sherman.
I explained it a little simpler.
Just speak up a bit, Sherman.
It appears like the airplane with a 150-foot wingspan folds up like a dinner napkin and goes in through a small hole that isn't big enough, probably just big enough for a wheel from an airplane to go into that hole. And so there's got to be something irregular about the whole thing. By the way, I head up a group of investigators, and we find that women investigators have the most insight and the most intuition in solving problems, and yet the mass media gives the idea that only James Bond can solve problems. What about Jane Bond? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the prejudice worked out to my favor, I guess, because when the U.S. Marshals came and raided where I used to live, they got my nephew on no charges and no warrant. Because he's a man, they must have figured that all this stuff was coming out of him.
And, Web Fairy, that was the same night they raided and arrested me.
Yeah.
Now, Web Fairy, you've been doing more investigation of these objects that hit the World Trade Center, especially the last so-called plane. Tell us what your forensic studies and investigations have shown. What's going on? Fill us in.
Well, I've got debunkers on me, like three thick, saying all kinds of silly things why my videos can't possibly show anything, but they still keep showing what they're showing, and just because it's improbable doesn't mean it's not there. I've got footage that shows an intact section of the tower after it has fallen and all, and there's this news bunny in front of it yapping, and then you see this tower of steel turn to dust and blow off sideways. Yeah.
And
not normal.
Yeah, that's when it was already on the ground, are you saying?
Yeah, the tower was already on the ground, but there was this spire of steel that is apparently was steel from the central core, about maybe 80 floors worth, that was still standing, and it turns to dust and blows off sideways as the news bunny is talking in front of the camera.
Yeah, right. Now, what about, let's just go back, Sherman was the first to find the New York Times article from August 2001, a month before 9/11.
Saturday, August 18th, and what is surprising, it shows how the mass media lies, because were the mass media honest, they would say, by the way, several weeks ago, we of the New York Times ran a story that strange people were living on the 91st floor of one of the towers, and the security service for the towers claimed that there was nobody living in the building, and yet there it is. We proved that they were, and they even came with special implements and removed a heavy window, because the higher up you go in the building, the thicker the window is because of the wind. And they removed a window, which I suppose we could theorize that maybe they used it for a laser hologram projector of some sort, because skilled pilots, I think you know, Web Fairy, have studied the thing. It's just, oh, wait a minute. These guys were practicing with one-motor airplanes, which they could barely fly. How did they go at twice the regular speed of a plane that big?
Yeah.
Made a very unusual sharp turn and came toward the building. Come on. I mean, and then they folded up like a napkin and went into the building.
on the second hit video, what it's showing is a plane that is severely banked, like it ought to be turning, only it's going straight. They can violate all sorts of laws of physics and perspective, and people just don't know any different, and instead they just believe what they're told to believe.
Well, if they had programmed the projector on the hologram wrong, they would have had the plane going inverted, going backwards, with its tail first.
What I think,
What was it that you think now
on the
hit?
The first hit, I think that they were planning to project a hologram, but it failed. And so on the Tanner footage, which is the first of the that was shown on television, they just used their raw footage, decimated the plane in the air quite a bit, got one frame put in backwards, so the thing looks like it's still or backing up for a frame, and then they stuck a big old screen crawl across the bottom of it and cut it off short before you see the birds. So I think that they thought that the birds was the flaky thing that they were supposed to be hiding.
By the way, maybe I shouldn't jump ahead, but Building 7 collapsed later that same afternoon. Nothing hit the building. And 2 years later, the leasing agent, Larry Silverstein, made a very odd, cryptic, esoteric statement. He told the fire chief, "I have to pull the building." There was a small fire in that building, and the term "pull the building" is a little-known architecture term where if they've got an old hotel or something, they put internal explosives in there, they clear out all the people for blocks around, and then they implode the building straight down, because to take the building down the old way cost billions of dollars. So there it is. He used the term, I have to pull the building. And maybe you noticed the one that got the contract to deal with the leftover debris of the two towers was Controlled Demolition Incorporated. And what is it that they are specialists in, according to their own website and so on? Imploding buildings right upon themselves, old hotels and stuff like that. And, of course, who took down the leftovers of the Murrah building? April 1995, the same company. So, I mean, there is serious misgivings. And, of course, nobody has questioned in court Larry Silverstein, well, how come you use this inside cryptic term? You said you're going to pull the building.
Said he's going to pull it. It's thewebferry.com/911/pull it. I've got the video and the audio there.
Of Larry Silverstein, right?
Yep.
So they can't say, geez, I don't remember seeing that. Are you sure that happened? You know what I'm saying.
Webferry, what are you saying then, actually? The people who were present watching the second plane, second object slam into the building, what is it that they're, what is creating the illusion then?
I'm not sure that the people saw anything, because it's been 2 years. And except for the ones that are saying insane stuff like, oh, yeah, we saw the logo, or we saw the people in the plane, that's always a clue that you're dealing with a phony witness report, because they've always got to be able to read the...
So at what point was the illusion created of an object hitting the second tower then? What are you...
It may have been created specifically for the video cameras that were strategically... placed. I don't think that there's any actual amateur video. I've never seen any. I've seen
Any video of tower of the first tower?
Only that which was taken by the Naudé brothers as part of what became the Naudé 911 special.
Have you developed a certain misgiving or suspicious about what they were doing?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about it.
This is our latest and ongoing research. You can find it at thewebferry.com/911/Brave New World 2 HTM. This is our proof that they knew and had a camera set up in time to catch reaction from people watching the first hit. Now, there'd be no reason on this planet or the next for them to have a camera all set up, waiting and ready to go to catch first-hit passerbys while they're seeing
tell
this.
Tell me this. Have you had occasion to put in the name Marvin Bush into Google.com?
Yeah.
And read the stories by a very skilled woman investigative journalist, Margie Burns. She dug up all the documents that are so incriminating. Who had the security contract for the buildings? Marvin Bush, the youngest brother of the occupant of the White House. Who had the insurance on the building? That is, a director of the company that had the insurance, who canceled it right before 911. Marvin Bush. And get this. On the radio was an interview with his mother, Barbara Bush, Daddy Bush's wife, and she wrote a book. And in the process of being interviewed about her book, she blurted out something very interesting. She says, by the way, you know, my youngest son, Marvin, was walking down the street there toward the stock exchange just as the buildings collapsed. That is so, you know, when you put it all together. And then, of course, you know, if any of us that are more forthright journalists would say, Mrs. Bush, did your son take something out of his pocket, which turned out to be something in a perfect condition, the alleged passport of Ada, planted in the middle of the street there? He was walking right there.
Yeah.
And what was he doing near the building right a moment before it collapsed? Was he delivering a final notice of insurance policy cancellation? You know what I'm saying? We would have asked, you know, we would have asked some really blunt questions. I think Lenny and you and me would have really asked them some questions. I mean, you know, so many people don't even know that there was a younger brother, Marvin Bush, and that he played all these different roles. Security for the two buildings. Oh, and who had the security of the airports where these alleged hijackers took off from? Marvin Bush, Houston Casualty Company, the parent of which is Kuwait Holdings. I mean, you know, when you add it all up,
the dots connect, obviously, and create obviously what's going on.
Well, wait, let's see. What do you make of it there?
All of the security stuff? Well, of course, it's all attached to the same gang, and I'm just suspecting, although I don't know how we'll find this out either, whoever commissioned this 911 documentary 6 months in advance, and the odor of gas scene that they go off to, and that's their excuse for being there with two fire trucks and blocking a street to the camera documents very muchly this looking for a gas leak. I live in Chicago. Here, if somebody reports a gas leak, they do not send two fire trucks, they send a gas man.
The other thing there is, what do you make of the voice on the tape? Somehow they released that. A top official of the fire department got way up there, 70th some odd floor, and says, hey, I'm looking at the fire. It isn't that bad. Bring up the equipment up here. We could put out this fire.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. You remember
to the
that?
Very second, it was just a routine but horrendous thing that the firemen were doing.
Now, but wait a minute, but some hecklers out there, the type that used to call into Mojo Radio when we were on, and I used to tell Lenny, take that party off the air and tell them the unlisted number of the CIA recruiter. That party has got a lifetime job heckling radio stations. Anyway, hecklers have contacted me and says, oh, wait a minute, you say it was the 78th floor? I don't think the water pipe could go up that high, you know, from the fire department.
Right.
Whatever it is, there was a top fire official who knows his business. He was looking at the fire. He says, isn't any bad? Bring up some equipment and we'll put it out. So, therefore, this idea that an airplane with a 150-foot wingspan somehow went through a hole in a concrete steel reinforced building, went through that hole into the building, and then after that the building suddenly disintegrated. Nobody that knows about these type of buildings says in the history of such buildings, none of them have ever imploded like that on their own, unless somebody wanted to take them down with internal explosives put in key places in the building.
Not necessarily internal, although I do believe in internal explosives. I don't think that's all that was going on. Like at the Kennedy assassination, when they had every single hit team on the entire planet there in town for the great event, overkill.
What is your theory, that there was something external?
I think it was internal. I think it was everything everybody's ever said it was, and I think that they got turned to dust by scalar means. None of the internal explosives.
You have a workable theory there, dear, because some have seen before this happened an airplane with a pod below the stomach of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I think that one was projected. I think it was created by some video game type technology. And nobody looked at it that close. I think it was made.
Did you examine the Pentagon situation as well?
Yeah, but at the Pentagon, there seems to have been a problem creating the Pentagon plane-shaped hole.
Hi, welcome back. This is Lenny Bloom. I hope you enjoyed part one of tonight's live briefing. Go on to part two and then part three.
Yet the government says it can prove it. With some fancy physics in a nuclear laboratory. Of course they can. Theoretical physics can prove that an elephant can hang from a cliff.